Introduction. Not everybody has noticed it yet, but evangelical Christianity is changing. Beliefs and practices held dear for generations are coming under critical scrutiny as progressive pastors and biblical scholars put under the microscope some of the fundamentals of the faith. Here are a few of the current hot topics. Did Jesus, when he died on the cross, appease the wrath of God against sin? Some now say no, and suggest other ways of looking at what the atonement means. Does hell mean everlasting conscious torment? A growing number of Christians deny that vigorously. Does God determine everything that happens, as the Calvinistic wing of evangelicalism stoutly maintains? Certainly not, say open theists just as stoutly. Are there errors and contradictions in the Bible? Yes, quite a lot, say some, who are then prepared to spell them out, yet without questioning its status as the Word of God. Did God create the universe in 6 literal days, or even in 6 long eras? Evangelicals who hold that some degree of evolution is compatible with creationism say no. Are there solid biblical grounds for believing in original sin? Many doubt it, and side with the Eastern Orthodox Church, which has never taught it. There are many more, but I wonder how you reacted as you read even this short list. Maybe you thought, that's interesting. I must look into some of those ideas sometime, if only to be equipped to combat them. Or perhaps you sighed, oh yes, this kind of grim stuff is nothing new. The faith, once for all delivered to the saints, has come under attack often down the centuries. But it has survived 2,000 years without crumbling, so we needn't worry about attacks today. Or maybe you got cross. This is the devil's work, and I have little time for so-called Christians naive enough to fall for his lies. I resist every one of these heretical ideas. You may be wondering at this point what my own reaction is, and thus where this book is going. What you have read so far may have unsettled you a bit. You're thinking it might be best to ditch it now while the going's good. After all, you don't want to stick with it, only to discover at the end that you've inadvertently swallowed poison. So I need to put my cards on the table right away, with a bit of background and some pointers to where I stand. Christened in a Methodist chapel, but raised in an Open Brethren assembly, their word for church, I made a personal commitment of my life to Christ at the age of 12. A couple of years later, I was baptized by immersion as a believer. After another couple of years, I had a dramatic experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, which must have been God, because churches like ours were cessationist and didn't believe in it. In my late teens, all fired up and with a deep love of the scriptures, I taught myself New Testament Greek and began to read books like Charles Hodges' Systematic Theology. In due course, I became a church elder and particularly enjoyed teaching the Bible. At the age of 35, I left my school teaching job to go into full-time Christian service with a network of charismatic churches called Covenant Ministries, based in the UK. I travelled widely, both in Britain and overseas, to teach the Bible. I edited a Christian magazine for some years. I was instrumental in setting up 2 Bible colleges, in both of which I served as principal for several years and did a fair bit of the teaching. I wrote 6 books. During all this time, I read widely in theology, trying to keep up with what was happening in the vanguard of evangelical thinking. I posted lots of book reviews on my website, which drew me into correspondence with people from all over the world, including some authors of fairly controversial books. I'm now into my 80s and still working at keeping abreast of things. My commitment to Jesus Christ, to his people, and to the scriptures remains undiminished. But I have undergone some changes in my views on certain aspects of the faith, including some of the ones listed above. I want to come clean and say that grappling with these issues hasn't always been easy. In fact, they've caused me quite a few spiritual wobbles at times. I've come out the other side of those wobbles and find my faith is now stronger and fresher than it has ever been since I became a Christian over 70 years ago. And my desire in writing this book is to help you reach a similar happy place. That then is where I stand. My intention in what follows is twofold. First, I want to introduce you to some of the new ideas that are challenging traditional views of the Christian faith in general and of the Bible in particular. I'll do this as one who believes these ideas should be taken seriously. And second, I want to convince you that you can embrace some or all of them without losing your faith. Indeed, I want to strengthen you in your faith. But I will be asking some searching questions about issues that you may never have questioned, and you need to be prepared for that. Which leaves you now with two choices. You can say, I don't think I'm ready to have my boat rocked, thank you. I'm happy living out my Christian faith as it currently is in the company of good friends in my church, and I've no wish to risk anything changing that. Okay, shut the book now, and God bless you. But if you do that, I suspect it won't be long before some of these issues sneak up on you from other, less sympathetic quarters, and you can only keep your head stuck in the sand for so long. Might it not be better to face them in my company, as someone who's rooting for you and your faith, rather than risk being shot down in flames by some bitter ex-Christian? That's why I'd recommend the second choice, which is for you to say, OK, I've suspected that some big issues are brewing in the background. It worries me, but I'm not one to shut my eyes and pretend it's not happening. So here goes. I'll stick with the book and hope it does me some good. I think it will.